And this morning was the testing of the tempter. The tempter, we know who is Satan. And actually, this took place right after Jesus' baptism, when John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. The spirit of the dove descended upon Jesus, and the Heavenly Father from above in heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased." And then the next verse said, the Spirit led Jesus out into the wilderness. And this is where the temptation took place. So if you would join me with the first verse, Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, did you get the grasp of that? That he was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. See, Jesus set the example for each one of us. And Hebrews chapter 4 explains about the temptation that Jesus went to, and he did it without sin, and then we can too. Now, he's always with us in our weaknesses. And in verse 2, and after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." But Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then the devil, Satan, took Jesus into the holy city and had him to stand on the pinnacle of the temple. And that's the very top of the temple. Had him to stand. And he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command, the Heavenly Father will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." Jesus said to Satan, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him, Jesus, to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All of these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to Satan, "Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left Jesus, and behold, the angels came and begin to minister to Jesus. If you should read Luke chapter 4, verse 13, it says it a little bit different. It says that Satan left, but he would be back at a more opportune time, at another season. And that's how Satan works. He tempts you, you don't give in, you say get lost, he leaves, but then he'll be back. You can rest assured of that. But when we belong to Jesus Christ, we have the authority to say, "Get lost, Satan. I belong to the Lord. You have no hold on my life." So looking at this scripture this morning, every temptation is a test from the evil one, and that's Satan, the wicked the wicked one, and he's waiting for us to fall or fail. And Satan attacks. His attacks is against the Word of God. The Word that we have right here, and is constantly trying to deceive us. He always twisting and manipulating, trying to get us to doubt what the Lord has said. And we read it, and the Holy Spirit convicts us and gives us discernment. But Satan, he's going to try to twist it and make it sound like the Lord said something else. For he knows if we lose our faith in the Word, then we are more than likely abandoning our calling and our mission. But we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. So here in this text, Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11, we'll see how Jesus was tested concerning his faithfulness to the Lord. And Jesus was faithful in every area of his life. And the way in which Satan tested him was by misquoting the Word, the Bible, and by trying to trick him into disobeying the Heavenly Father. He'll do the same with you and me. But don't let him get his foot in the door. So let's look at God sometimes allows testing. God allows it sometimes. He did with Job in the Old Testament. Job went through more testing probably than we ever did or will. And he lost everything. But he gained it in the end because he remained faithful to the Lord. So it is possible. Nothing is impossible with God. So first of all, we need to understand that God will sometimes allow us to be tested, just as he allowed Jesus to be tested, because verse 1 said that he was led into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15 gives us encouraging words, and that's why I keep mentioning Hebrews chapter 4. Read that chapter. Very encouraging. Because it says in verse 15, Hebrews 4:15, "For we do not have an high priest," the high priest is Jesus Christ, "who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses." In some translation it says infirmities, but it means the weaknesses are our fleshly weaknesses. "But one," Jesus, "the one who has been tempted in all things as we are on a daily basis, yet Jesus was without sin." Now, let us first look at the location of Jesus' testing. Where was it? It was in the wilderness. He was there 40 days, 40 nights. He did not eat or drink water. Would you be willing to eat something at that time if you were tempted? Satan went after Jesus's, he thought, weakness. But Jesus responded by, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the Word of God." Think about that. This is our bread. It feeds our lives. That's why Martin Luther said, "The Word of God is alive, and it speaks to me." It really does. And then, secondly, we see who did the actual testing, and that was Satan himself. He was there. He was waiting. That's when he showed up at the end of those 40 days and 40 nights. He just happened to show up. "Okay, I've got you, Jesus." Jesus was tested in the wilderness like so many of God's people and prophets. And the wilderness can be such a trying and brutal location that it serves as a purging ground that can shape and mold a person's character. See, the tests and the hardships and the sufferings that we endure in this life is not to make us weak. It is to make us stronger, our faith stronger, that we depend upon God even more when we are in the valley. Just like Paul, he had a thorn in the flesh and he prayed three times, God, please remove this thorn. If you do, I can serve you much better. I will be a better disciple. I'll be a better apostle. Just take this thorn away from me, whatever that was. But Jesus says, no, my grace is going to be sufficient to you. I'll be with you. I'll get you through this. And it proved very much so that Paul was able to minister even stronger and boldly because he depended upon God and not allowed the thorn in the flesh or whatever ailment or illness he had to hold him back or cause him to want to quit. So I can't do this because I've got this thorn in my flesh. I've got this weakness. But God said, my grace is sufficient. And it always is. So, for example, God allowed the Israelites to wander in the wilderness for 40 days. See the simulation here? 40 days in the wilderness, 40 nights. Now, the Israelites, 40 years in the wilderness. And it was their fault. If they had not complained about the manna that God provided for them or bickered and just disobeyed God in their lives and their weaknesses, they would not have been in the wilderness 40 years. For every day they complained, God added another day to their wandering. You think about that. So don't complain, all right? Say amen to God. Amen, amen. Because he is with us. The wilderness also taught the Israelites to rely on God for their provision, or rather it taught them to trust in God. We trust in God in our weaknesses and our hardships and our failures. We trust in him. So I do not believe that God was trying to improve Jesus' character. Not at all. Because Jesus' character was flawless. He was instead wanting to prove to Satan that Jesus was absolutely faithful and could never be defeated. And we cannot be defeated either if we trust in Jesus and say no to Satan. Secondly, defending against the physical attacks. So these what I'm going to be sharing with you this morning are the things that we experience. And the physical things, the physical attacks, is one of the tactics that Satan uses against us. It's been observed that there are three primary attacks from Satan in our lives today. And they are physical, spiritual, and mental. He'll work on your weaknesses, your whatever your physical weaknesses are, the hurts and the pains and arthritis and all of that stuff and all the aches and pains that we have, try to drag you down. If that don't work, then he goes to your spiritual side and try to confuse you with the Word of God and say it's not true. Or maybe you're not saved. You never made a profession of faith. But you know in your heart you did. But you know and you have experienced that change that God made in your life. And then he'll work on you mentally. That's where you do your thinking and your processing. He'll work on that to twist everything and confuse you. He's very good at that. So we'll look at these three kinds of attacks today, starting with the physical attack. And Jesus was tested physically by Satan because he didn't eat. He was hungry, the Bible says. Now, Satan approached Jesus and became rude, sarcastic with him in his statement. And this is why I said he was rude and sarcastic when he said, if you are the Son of God. That's being rude, isn't it? That's being sarcastic. And that's in verse 3. And it also can be translated as, since you are the Son of God, revealing Satan's chasms. So this rendering would also show that Satan was not questioning Jesus' sonship, but he was tempting him to misuse it, just like he will you and me. So since you are God's son, why doesn't your father feed you? In the Old Testament, you know, the ravens fed Elijah, brought bread to him, brought things, yeah. And we see here that Satan was attacking Jesus through his physical needs. So we all have physical needs, and that's where Satan's going to work on us. If we're weak in that area, he's going to work on us. Satan wanted Jesus to feel as though God didn't care for him and that he would never come through for him with any food and just allow him to be hungry. That was Satan trying to deceive Jesus that way. But Jesus fought back by using the two-edged sword, the Word of God. And Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy 8:3 out of the Old Testament, which says, man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, the word of the Lord. See? Jesus used the Old Testament to come back with Satan. He used scriptures, and we can too. So when Satan attacks us through the physical needs, then we need to fight back with the Word of God. It'll work every time, I promise you. I use scripture against Satan all the time. And he'll get gone. He don't want to hear it. Nothing, he wants to hear nothing you have to say about Jesus, the Trinity, or the Word of God. Now, let's look at defending against the spiritual attacks. And that's verses 5 through 17. Here we see Jesus was tested spiritually by Satan. And we see here that the devil took him to the pinnacle of the temple. That's the highest part of the temple. The pinnacle is the highest, and it's the highest southeast corner of the temple platform that overlooked the great depth of the Kidron Valley. A beautiful, beautiful area. You can see for miles and miles and miles. And after Satan got him there, he tested Jesus by saying to make him to forget some of God's word. Then that's when, again, he misquoted the scriptures of the book of Psalms where the Lord promised to take care of his own. And in Psalms 91, 11 and 12, it says, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, talking about the angels, lest you dash your foot against the stone. And Jesus knew that Satan was testing, and he was twisting the Word of God. Not only testing, but tempting the Heavenly Father as well. That's what Satan does. So he fought back, Jesus did, with the scripture, correcting Satan by saying, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. That's in verse 7, which is from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. Same one I was reading the other quotes from. So when Satan attacks us spiritually, then we need to fight back. Again, I said it earlier, in the physical attacks, but the spiritual attacks, we fight back with the Word of God. We use that as our defense. And then defending against the mental attacks. Here we see Satan attacked his mental with impatience. He did. He tried impatience on Christ. The devil offered Jesus a shortcut to his kingdom. Imagine that. God owns everything anyway. And here he is saying, here, I'll give this to you. However, there are no shortcuts to the will of God. We cannot take any shortcuts. If we want to share in the glory, we must also share in the sufferings. That's what the Lord told Ananias when he was mending the Apostle Paul back to health, when he lost his vision on the Damascus Road. Jesus said, Paul will suffer much for my sake. So that's why I say that this is, we shall not tempt, or if we want to share in his glory, we must also share in the Lord's sufferings. And that's 1 Peter 5:10 says that we are called to God's glory only after we have suffered a while. And Peter and all the other apostles knew all about that, and that's why they was able to write about Jesus Christ. See, Jesus did not need Satan's offer of anything. The Father had already promised Jesus the kingdom, and Jesus retaliated by quoting Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 20, which says, you shall fear the Lord your God, you shall serve him only, to him you shall hold fast. When Satan attacks us mentally, works on our mind, then we need to fight back with the Word of God. Physically, spiritually, and mental, we fight back. Use the Word of God, the Bible, as our defense. Then finally, the devil will flee in verse 11. That's a good thing, you know. He has to leave when we say get lost. So if we're eager to put Satan under our feet and crush him, we can do it so with the two-edged sword, the Word of God, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 again. I love that chapter. And Jesus used God's Word to defend him against the devil. Then Satan fled the scene. And Matthew chapter 4, verse 11 said, the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to Jesus. See, the aid, the help that Jesus received from the Heavenly Father, the Father never left him. He's always with you. He's with me. He was with Jesus, provided everything he needed. And in closing, when we're endured the wilderness and have finally learned submission, and that's part of it, we submit to the Spirit of God and dependence on God, we have to depend on God. He's our only hope. Then his presence will be manifest in our life daily. We must learn to submit ourselves to and obey him in every area of our life if we have a chance of putting Satan on the run. And he'll put them on run when we use the Word of God as our defense. And one huge way we can become dependent on the Lord is by studying his Word daily. And when we study the Bible, think about this. When we study God's Word, we're admitting to the Lord that we desire to his help, and his Word will always provide it. And I love this quote, and I'm going to do it again. But the Word of God, it's alive. It speaks to my heart, your heart. It has feet. It runs after you. And it has hands and it will take hold of your life. I love that quote from Martin Luther. And it is very, very true. He was born back in the 1400s. Imagine that, 1400s. He died at 62. This man was a brilliant scholar, teacher, bishop, you name it, author, songwriter. He was anointed by God. Read about his life. He mimicked the Lord with his life. Born in Germany. Born in Germany. He was a godly, godly man. But nothing can compare to our Lord Jesus Christ. If we follow him, the Satan will run. He'll get lost. Let us pray. Our Father God, we praise your holy name. And we thank you for this time of the service that we can extend an invitation to everyone here. And even those listening live, we encourage them also to make a decision that you laid upon their hearts. Lord, we know that you're everywhere and you extend your invitation to us anytime, day and night. You know our hearts, you know our weaknesses, you know our physical and spiritual and mental weaknesses. But Lord, through your word, through your defending us against Satan, Lord, we have already won the victory. We praise you for that. Whatever decisions are right now, Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit make it clear and plain that we know exactly what we need to do in this service today. To step out, make a profession of faith in Christ, your Son, or maybe renew our life afresh and anew this day to walk in the newness of life. Lord, whatever that decision is, Lord, each and every one of us have an opportunity to walk down this aisle to this altar and give our heart and life to you. That simple. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank you, Lord, for your salvation. Praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen. Let us stand as we sing our closing song.